and that people who were making it were very, very serious about showing the world what Filipino drag looked like. And what it looks like is excellent. It is very, again, it is top shelf. It's so good. One of the reasons why I like Drag Race Philippines so much, and what I feel sometimes the current American seasons a lot of the times lacks, is that there is a deep understanding of what camp actually is. It is subversive. It is thoughtful. It is not just, it's so bad that it's good. Camp has to be subversive in order to be good. So for example, there's this runway that I always think about from season one that sent me. It was so great. It was so funny. The theme had to do with aswang, which are like ghosts and spirits and demons of Filipino folklore. And one of the characters in Filipino folklore is called the Manananggal. It is, as I understand it, it's a young woman by day, and by night she is like a really grotesque creature who is able to split her body in half at the torso. She sprouts wings, and the top half of her body goes around feeding on unmentionables on public radio. Whereas the bottom half of her body, you know, the hips and the legs are just kind of hanging out. And so if you see a side glimpse of the Manananggal, she's just this, like, essentially she's just this woman who's flying, and she's got her, basically her organs and innards just like hanging out. And one of the contestants, Vinyas Deluxe, on Drag Race Philippines, did her runway based on the Manananggal. She comes out onto the stage, and her costume is, you know, like a pair of legs with like organs coming out of it, and then she's wearing a shirt that's got organs coming out like the bottom of it. And it looks pretty amazing because it really appears as though she has split her body in half using fabric, but she split her body in half. And everybody's really excited as she comes down on the runway. I really liked it. And I noticed that she is sidestepping when she is going to the other ends of the runway. You know, she's doing her left and right, instead of just like turning around like a normal person would. And the reason why, and this is where that fun, thoughtful, campy part comes, because she's set us up for something and now she's going to subvert our expectations. She turns around and it's revealed that she's wearing a long shirt that goes down kind of to her knees, where we see there's like that fabric that looks like, that's been cut out and decorated to look like innards coming out. But we also realize essentially that there is no back to her outfit. It is just like she's basically walking out half naked. So she turns around and we see her bare legs, her bare back, and obviously her butt. And it's hilarious. Like, you lose it when you watch it, because she had to, you know, she comes out in this like really interesting looking runway. She turns around and it's actually just like, it is so simple. It is kind of like, it's just like this like fun joke in itself, right? I think like that kind of thoughtfulness, as silly as it is, that thoughtfulness doesn't appear as often on the American or just even Western seasons of Drag Race anymore. But then even also beyond like stuff like that, beyond camp, there is just a lot of like love and cleverness and skill in other parts of this franchise. I feel like it's not a typically Tuesdays episode if I don't talk about girl groups. And each season of Drag Race has a girl group challenge where the contestants form a girl group and they write their own lyrics and they create their own choreography and then they perform it on the main stage. And so the Philippines seasons, I'm kind of already biased towards because every season has to have a girl group challenge. Asian people, we love girl groups. Whereas the American seasons and some of the other ones, they don't always have it. But the, I mean, just the level of skill on these girl group challenges, it's like everybody was actually born to debut in an idol group, not lying. It's so good. Okay, not obvious. No, that's a lie. Not every contestant is good, but each season has at least one group that just knocks it right out of the park. There is always a little bit more than a handful of contestants who do particularly well on the girl group challenges. And I feel like that is so important if you're going to become like an entertainer at this point in our society, because there's just so much emphasis on like just being able to bring out like hype and excitement to your crowd. And you simply just don't get a lot of that in other seasons of Drag Race. I think the best girl group challenge that I have seen from Drag Race Philippines, I mean, season one was really good. The song Pop Off Ate was really, really good. It's just the contestant named Turing, she comes out and it's like she punches you in the face, but in like the best way possible. But season three, Maxi's group, the contestant named Maxi, she's essentially the Sasha Colby of Drag Race Philippines, as I understand it. I'm saying a bunch of stuff that you might not understand if you don't understand Drag Race. Deal with it. Watch Drag Race Philippines so that you understand what I'm saying. That's kind of mean. But it's true. I think you should watch Drag Race Philippines because that episode of season three, it was incredibly exciting. Maxi, this contestant on season three, is already like a professional singer, basically, and has an amazing voice, but obviously also knows pop music really, really well. And so she's like rapping on that stage. She's dancing her butt off, and she's a very good mentor to everybody else in her group, helping them out with lyrics and choreography and stuff. And so when they come out, there's, with the exception of one contestant on that very group, but when they come out and they perform, it is amazing. It's like you're at a concert and you're like just cheering these people on because they're so good at like getting you hyped. Their lyrics are so fun and clever. And then the vocals, the rapping, we're done. We are done, folks. Like the caliber of skills that are showcased on that stage with that group challenge, you have to pause the episode for a moment, go outside, take 6 minutes of fresh air, and reevaluate your own life. How have you lived up until this point without experiencing something that cool? Let's listen to some music, and this music is very much not girl group music, and that's okay. Here is Offering of Water 1. Enjoy!
Thank you. This is Bird Note. Two robin-sized woodpeckers ascend the same massive pine trunk. The first woodpecker is tawny brown and cryptically patterned. The second is glistening black, boldly accented with white, yellow, and red. The two couldn't look more mismatched. But this is a mated pair of Williamson sapsuckers, a migratory species that nests in the mountain forests throughout much of the West. Their radically different plumages so confounded 19th century naturalists that, for nearly a decade, the birds were put down in the books as different species. Williamson sapsuckers share western forests with a dozen species of woodpeckers. Yet sapsuckers are unique among woodpeckers in drilling neat rows of tiny holes in the trunks of trees. Sap oozes very slowly from the holes, a food for the sapsuckers. The sap also acts like flypaper, snagging small insects collected by foraging hummingbirds and warblers. The conservation success of Williamson's sapsucker requires well-informed forest management by allowing low-intensity fires to create open stands of large conifers and by preserving clusters of old aspen snags. Land managers can help create ideal nest trees for Williamson sapsuckers. The West wouldn't be the same without them. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Love is Blue by Dorothy Ashby. Before that, you heard Mitts by Lara Samogi and Jean-Michel Blais here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie, and I think you should watch Drag Race Philippines. That's it. The reason why I wanted to talk about it today, actually, was because I started to watch Drag Race Philippines Slasion Royale, which is their all-star season, featuring contestants of previous seasons of Drag Race Philippines who performed quite well, but also competing with other drag queens of the other international franchises who happen to be of the Asian diaspora. I'm gonna be honest, by the time Drag Race Philippines Season 2 came out, I no longer had access to the streaming platform that I was mooching my friend off of, and I also didn't really know where to watch it anyways, and I was like, that's fine, whatever, why not, I'm too, you know, I don't want to get a subscription to anything. It's fine. Everything's fine. I just won't watch it. And I held out for 2 years, technically. That was 2 years ago, I think. And then, Slasian Royale was announced. And I was like, oh, this seems pretty interesting, you know? Because it's like an all-Asian cast. And I watched the first episode, which was available for free on YouTube. And then I started to follow the recap shows. And I was just like, I need more of this. I need more in my body. I need to inject it directly into my bloodstream. Because Slasian Royale is so good. And I was I went ahead and I actually did go and buy a WoW Presents Plus subscription just to watch the show. As I'm waiting every week for the program to come out, I started to also watch the missed episodes of Drag Race Philippines that I didn't see after season one. I was like, okay. I understand. I was correct before. This is probably the best franchise or the best series in the entirety of the rest of the franchise. It's just so good. It's very cool. Slasian Royale, of course, is exciting also because it's an all-Asian cast. And so, I mean, for me, it's not even necessarily about the media representation of it all. I think that's why a lot of people would want to watch this show. Which is understandable because in most of the other series of the franchise, like in the European seasons and also much of the North American ones and the ones from the Down Under one, Asian queens don't perform past like maybe episode 3. It's quite sad, but it's like a reoccurring pattern. And so obviously if you're like a queer Asian person, you're watching that series of Drag Race and you're expecting to see, you're cheering on the Asian queen because like you identify with them, and then they like never really perform past like episode 3 or 4. It's like quite frustrating, obviously. For me, watching Slasian Royale is not necessarily about the representation of it all, but it's just to see how, just see a show where, like, queer Asian people are celebrated, and it's only queer Asian people there. Like, that's the exciting part for me. And being able to see the camaraderie between these folks who have these shared experiences develop is very cool. And then every now and then there's just a joke in there that like queer Asian people understand, and it's like, oh my god, you know, it's like it feels like, I don't know how to explain it, it just feels like, oh, I'm in on the joke, and it just feels like natural to be that way. It's a very unique experience, I think, being a queer Asian person and watching the show that's all about queer Asian people, and you get to see the diversity, the shared experiences amongst these folks, it feels really nice to watch it. I don't know. I guess the final thing I would say on this episode of Typically Tuesdays as we wrap up is, please, like, if any of the things that I talked about today are seem appealing to you, like, you want to know more about, like, Filipino drag culture, the Filipino drag scene, if you want to know more about and watch more, like, queer Asian drag, queer Asian people on your screens, please watch the show on WOW Presents Plus. I'm asking selfishly because I want more seasons of the show to be produced, and if I can, like, get people to, like, watch this program, even if they're only gonna be watching it for the free trial, but they, like, signed up for an account, that tells the producers that they gotta make more Drag Race Philippines, and they gotta invest more in that. They gotta invest more in, like, Asian drag queens, and also to make potentially more seasons of Slasian Royale, you know? And it would be mostly for my benefit, obviously the queens, of course, and other people who are touched by the show, but mostly for me. And thank you if you do that. Yeah, it's a ride. I didn't even talk about the drama that happens on Slasian Royale. There's this one episode that's, like, super emotional. I can't even get into it. There's just so much happening there. But, yeah. Today was a really low-stakes episode of Typically Tuesdays. I appreciated it. You know, last week was really heavy and intense. And this week, not so much. Because, you know, it's been a tough couple of weeks being a person in the world. But I hope this episode got to you somehow. If not for the talking, then for the music. So thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Tune in to more great CJSF programming. Please listen to Democracy Now! Media democracy is all the more important right now. You know how it is. Weekdays from 11 to 12 here on 90.1 FM or CJSF.ca. I'm going to close off with a little bit of one final track here on the show. This is by the legend Beverly Glenn Copeland, who's coming to Vancouver in January. I'm so excited. But I hope you enjoy it. This is Sunset Village. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'll talk to you very soon.